This is the Team Builders Podcast, building better teams.
Welcome back to the Team Builders Podcast. My name is Jonathan, and along with my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen, this podcast explores excellence and high performance in teams and the way in which team building and engagement can positively impact on that pursuit. We bring over 20 years of team building experience, delivering hundreds of corporate team engagements every year across the UK and beyond. If you're looking for practical insights and inspiration to help you build a stronger team, you've come to the right place.
This is the Team Builders Podcast with Stephen Haseley, Jerry Crowley and Jonathan Haseley.
Hello, folks, and a very warm welcome to the Team Builders Podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, my name's Jonathan. I'm the host of the podcast. I'll take that title for myself. Nice. I'm one of the co-directors of Team Challenge Company. I'm always joined by my two wonderful co-directors, Jerry and Stephen. They're with me both today. How are you, lads?
Yeah, hello, Jonathan. Feeling very well. I have tried some new foods, if I may say, and I dislike two of them. I'm only going to share one. For extra protein, I thought I would buy a bag of beef jerky.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh yes. Well, you've already tasted it. Well, I can tell you, I had my breakfast, yogurt and fruit. Come 12 o'clock, I was feeling starved. I thought, well, what could be better than 39% protein beef jerky?
It doesn't taste like much.
It does not taste like anything. No.
Good effort, though.
I bought it. Yeah. I tasted it, and I'll not be tasting it again. Yeah. Unless somebody convinced me there's different flavours or something. But it's not
mint,
great.
Yeah. Mint
flavor. Back to the drawing board.
Yeah, nice. Okay, we'll find more protein.
Jonathan, feeling good, looking good, looking at my notes today, looking forward to the podcast ahead as I sharpen my Gleneagles pencil.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so for those that might think that this is some sort of dietary podcast, it isn't. It's in fact all focused on high-performing teams. And today I've got a great topic, I think, gents, based on a little line that I actually spotted on social media recently from an amazing Australian former fighter pilot who goes by the name of Christian Boukousis, or Christian Boo, I think is his little nickname. And he does a lot of leadership events, particularly, you know, around, you know, big keynote speakers and things in the States at the moment. His line was this: pressure reveals, it doesn't create problems.
Ooh.
So pressure reveals, it doesn't create problems. So basically, the cause of problems in teams aren't the pressure, it's the fact that when the pressure's on, those causes shine through. So I thought that may be a little interesting topic for us to discuss today. So let's start with the big idea, overall arching premise: pressure doesn't cause problems, it shows where the problems are. Is that something, Jerry, that you might generally agree with?
Off the cuff, I would say no.
Okay.
But probably with deep reflection, I would probably agree.
Yeah. Okay.
Only because, you know, probably I deal with or lead on with pressure from the outset, even when I just walk into a room. That's
right. You thrive under
pressure.
Well,
I don't know if I do. Because I have reflected on it. I do have a more formulated answer, yeah. I guess. But I think the true fact is, if you're not prepared for pressure and pressure comes and you deal with it poorly, then correct.
Yes.
But then there's also real life when pressure appears from nowhere, you know, and you need something done, you need it fast, you take control, you pressurize and get through. But you don't know what damage, I guess, that leaves behind your wake.
Yes.
So maybe that's where I would be.
Yeah, I get it.
Hedged on the fence.
Yeah, right, yeah, that's okay. Well, yeah, let's see what we can convince you one way or the other over the course of the next short while. Stephen, again, I know it's very initial in our conversation, but any thoughts on that particular phrase from Christian Boukousis there?
I think there's internal and external pressure, and I think a lot of internal pressure is in your head. It's not a reality. It's things that you fear and worry about. And then there's external pressure, things that are imposed upon you. Changes in the government, the weather, the environment, competitors, et cetera, et cetera. And I think to be successful long term, you have to be able to manage both.
Yeah.
And if you can manage yourself and your team, you can manage your business. If you can manage your business, good chance you're going to have success. But again, success is a long term process rather than a short term win.
Yeah. Okay, nice. That's a good remit for us to work in and the rest of the conversation.
So is he agreeing or disagreeing?
Yeah,
both.
Stephen just sets
I do
up
both at the same time.
Stephen just sets up the argument. I like it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so again, let's kind of delve into it a little bit more then. You know, Jerry, you mentioned about walking into a high-pressure environment. What is it generally that we see that, you know, puts teams under stress or under pressure?
Generally, like I guess Stephen did hit the nail on the head. Definitely this comes from other people a lot of the time, because probably those pressure that the person, so if somebody applies the pressure and that person is under pressure from a different source than the people in the room, generally, you know, I would say. So what brings that pressure? Yeah, you know, I do agree with Stephen a little bit here. It probably is yourself that does make that happen, especially if you're a high-performing person, because you don't want to let yourself down, firstly, and then you don't want to let your team down, secondly. But I think a fair question is, what is the pressure? So let's just surmise.
It tends to be like cyclical as well, doesn't it? Like, you know, there are moments, I guess, where I doubt there's many teams or many people that feel like they're working under pressure 100% of the time.
Yeah.
It's the moments, and again, this is probably where I'm going to lead the conversation to eventually, hopefully. It's the moments where the pressure shines through or pops in all of a sudden. How you react to that and how you deal with that is the important part, you know. And I guess
if you're not trained for it, I guess
you're right. And that's obviously what our Australian fighter pilot friend is talking about. You have to be able to train under pressure as much as possible for when the moment comes. I mean, you can imagine we're obviously in a different environment here to when you're, you know, going to war. But that's the whole point, isn't it? It's so that you are so perfect that when the pressure comes and when there's bullets flying past your head or whatever, you can perform your duty as opposed to going, oh my word, I've never been here before.
Generally, in business, a generalisation, you don't really train for pressure. You deal with pressure.
Yeah.
But in all of our time, I think I've only done maybe 3 or 4 team building experiences where the client has said, we want to put our team under tremendous pressure to see how they react. It has happened.
Yeah.
But generally, we don't tend to, you know, operate under that level. But you could see why the fighter pilot would need to. You just watch Top Gun and they spend all of their time in the simulator, all of their time rejecting their each other's calls.
Yeah.
So maybe there's need for more of it.
I think over the years, we've also, in a way, played good cop, bad cop, in that clients have said to us, okay, we want to do a task. We give them a task, and they'll say to us, was that good? And in their arena, it was good, but in the wider environment of other businesses, no, it wasn't good. And they tell us they're world class, and yet their performance on that specific task wasn't world class. And then when you break it down, it's because they haven't planned, haven't prepared, haven't communicated. They just banged in there, stormed in there and threw stuff at it. Usually threw everything at it rather than be selective about what is the most efficient way to solve this problem. And once you discuss it with them, they give you the solutions for their own challenge and for their own lack of performance. They do it again, boom, nailed it. And those small things, those small learning opportunities, those glimpses of excellence hopefully filters through into their main workplace.
So, Jerry, listen, when it comes to our own experiential offerings that we deliver, I guess a lot of the time we are trying to bring an element of pressure to the situation. It's not the most crazy high level. It's not a fighter pilot going to war, but it is something that, you know, adds to the experience and, you know, puts people under that little bit of extra something that makes them perform and think about it. Any thoughts around why we do that and the importance of that as we go through those kind of experiential activities?
Yeah, a lot of. So we decide to offer a lot of competitive side in our experiences in order that the teams can feel what it feels like to be put under pressure. And like Christian said, it does show some, I wouldn't say problems as such, but weaknesses within the team. So for instance, somebody might lose their temper quickly.
Yeah.
Some people might walk off, get disinterested.
Yeah.
Those type of situations occur when you put the squeeze on a little bit. We're not aggressive with it, but time, we use time as a factor.
Yeah.
So we say you've only got 90 minutes, you've only got 40 minutes down the road. Also, we take away some of their ability to manage the situation. So 2 or 3 people might have information in front of them, 2 or 3 people on the other teams might have different information, but they need their information. And that causes, not to use the word stress, but pressure, I guess, is stress. That causes pressure on the teams to see where do they need the information, how can they find the information, oh, I need the information, and that kind of buzz thing. And then the cracks definitely do appear. And what the business does with those cracks is important, I think.
Yeah, and I think,
but it gives them an exposure to it.
Yeah, and I think generally, you know, it's not a test to catch organizations out on the negative parts. It's actually where you see those people that deal well with that pressure, let's call it, and the people that stand to the front and go, whoa, let's just calm down here. Yeah. What would we normally do? We would sit around and we would think of a plan. So let's do that. And just because there's a clock ticking down on the screen and we got 90 minutes, you know, you see the positive reactions more so than the negative ones, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's what our experiences are about. It's about bringing the positive part to it.
I remember doing one with Stephen and it was oil related, oil and gas related, and we were, you know, instructed to add the pressure. And from nowhere, somebody stood up and said, we don't need your pressure. This is a life situation. You know, it wasn't a life situation, but the simulation was. It's a life situation. And then he said to the group in front of him, let's take our 5x5, which is, you know, take 5, talk about 5 things, and then go back in. And that was probably one of the first times we had heard it being so much formulated.
Yes.
Like we knew it was required, but when you hear it in the actual field of play, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, they had a perfect example.
You could imagine yourself, if you were in that situation, somebody was leaning over a rig or doing something crazy, and somebody calls it, everybody kind of snapped.
Yeah, they snapped into their training.
Yeah, and all of a sudden our pressure became relevant.
When you mentioned framing, Jonathan, time is one of those frames that puts people under pressure because we have to get a result. And we exacerbate that, I think, by having a trophy and a wooden spoon. So we go, there's 90 people in a room. Your normal job is to sell cars, sell money, sell time. Here's a competition. Let's see how it plays out. No one wants to win the wooden spoon. But as we've progressed as a company, we have converted some of that framing from competition into collaboration, which initially makes people, I wouldn't say aggressive, but very motivated to beat up on the other teams so that they can shine. But as it plays through the game, they realize they have to collaborate together. But all companies and all businesses have seasons. Good times, bad times. You just got to go through those good times and bad times. And that's where you need to reflect and work with your team. Any team, any business can be successful when the market's good. When the market's down, that's when you really have to rely on your top performers. And your top performers can maintain a balance to make sure that of survival of themselves, their team and their sector in the business world.
Yeah, and I guess the overall premise, again, why we incorporate those pressures, for I guess the word that we're using today, is that it's done in a safe environment. It's done in a gamified way. It's not something to, you know, you're not in the business. Jerry, your example in another rig, those things will be life and death for those people. When you're in an office space, it will be the difference between getting your bonus and not getting the bonus. Whenever we're delivering, you know, it's in a gamified, you either win a trophy or don't win a trophy, but it's to tease out those little thoughts, those feelings. And I guess for business leaders and, you know, managers within those organizations, it allows them to see those people that do step up under pressure or are able to retreat to their training and go, this is how we do it. Our HR policy tells us that we should stop work here, so we're going to stop work. Like, that's an amazing thing. You know, even in a gamified experience, for someone to be able to for someone to be able to stop and just go, actually, hold on, boys, we're not doing this anymore, because I think that's
And then there's argument within. But a lot of companies use psychometric profiling too within their teams to allow for that safety.
Yes.
Because different people have different skills. And you always say, you know, working with you on the events and stuff, you always say to me, or say to the people, remember, you play your role when your time is needed. And I think that's apt. And when you're feeling under pressure, under stress, it's not your time necessarily to lead from the front, but your time will come when you're settled. And
when Michael Jordan needed to make the basket, he made the basket. Yeah. And that's what everybody remembers. They don't remember the first basket, the second one, the third one, the last basket that won the game.
Yeah.
And that's what elevated him from, well, he was obviously the man that could make it under pressure. And that's what makes the difference for any team. The team that makes it when the chips are down.
When you hear him speaking, he doesn't even think he's under pressure.
No.
He said, he's loving it,
loving it. He's loving it, loving it, loving it. Pass the ball to Michael.
Yeah. But again, it's because those, you know, I like the sports analogy too. And you know, people that listen to the podcast will know I'm a bit of a golf fan, and they talk about Rory, in particular Rory McIlroy, he always talks about pressure is a privilege. And that means that if you're under pressure, you're in a chance to win. You're in a chance to be successful, and that's a privileged place to be. And these people, again, someone like Michael Jordan, the reason why he was so good and able to perform under pressure is because he trained thousands, hundreds of thousands of times, and he did that in a pressured environment. He tells stories of, he wouldn't go to eat his dinner until he made 1,000 baskets in a row. And when he made 990 and he missed, he'd start again. That's pressure. So he put himself in a safe, pressurized environment. Again, when that translates through to some of the things that we might do with our customers, it's the same kind of thing. They're trying to just give some feeling in a safe environment of what pressure feels like, so that whenever it comes to the crunch in the business environment,
They got some experience.
You got some experience, and you know who to lean on, and you know how to go about those things.
And it's such a specialised area. You know, we've all got respect for athletes and for super high performers, and yet Michael Jordan, one of the greatest athletes in the world, couldn't convert all that experience, all that physicality and all that gamesmanship into baseball.
Yeah.
So it's such a specific thing. So when a company is such a world leader in selling cars, selling money, selling time, it's specific. It's hard to diversify. You don't go to McDonald's burgers for a pizza. They are the best at what they do in their sector. Go beyond that, it becomes more difficult to stay world-class, especially now with such great competition around UK, Europe, abroad, etc.
I think sometimes, well, just to maybe get towards the back end of the conversation, it seems, or I don't mean it to seem, that we're talking about pressure as a negative thing either, because often, and Jerry, I think you alluded to this at the start, you know, pressure is needed to drive results. And I actually had a little question here about some leaders maybe try to avoid high-pressured environments and they steer away their team from it. To my mind, that's maybe not necessarily the best strategy all the time either. You know, would you talk to that about, you know, when because sometimes you need to put the squeeze on to get the job done.
My go-to is pressure, and there's a backside of that we've discussed, you know, there's a negative to that too. But I do find in my own personal life, putting pressure on myself to succeed in my own self gets me better results.
Yeah.
So therefore, I try to translate that through to business, which I've learned isn't always a great thing, but it can definitely help in those moments of struggle where you can, and sometimes pressure can just be redefining the environment to the team. It's a big difference when you see the future as a business leader and working in the now, as sometimes the team might be.
Yeah, it's about creating healthy pressure and healthy challenge to those people to go and achieve.
And for me, if I could learn how to use it a bit more effectively, I think I would be able to take a lot from Christian's note here of like, let it reveal. So rather than have pressure become you, you can create pressure to enable you to be better.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way, that something I've learned while we're talking here.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely the, you know, need for sometimes people to not cruise, and that's what I think, that's where you like to bring the pressure thing, you know, you like to push people to achieve what you know they can based on their ability. They just sometimes need the little push, and sometimes that's
too much for some people,
but that's life, isn't it? And that changes, and we change around them, you know. Stephen, any final thoughts at all on Christian's thought there? Pressure reveals, it doesn't create problems.
Yeah, I think for me it comes down to honesty, but be honest with your targets and what your visions and values are, both personally and professionally. Be honest with yourself. What do you want to achieve out of your life and in your business? People talk about work-life balance. That's an issue for them to decide how much effort they're going to put into both. Can they manage both? And what do they want to get out of it? You will get nothing you'll get nothing out of your investments if you don't put anything into it. And again, sometimes that's strategic. Sometimes, I wouldn't say luck, it's sometimes doing the right thing at the right time. But you've got to read the signs and you've got to put in effort. You know, we've all performed amazingly well at sports, Jerry.
Amazing.
So you got to put effort in. If you're going to
run the back garden.
Yeah, there's a massive difference between training for a 10K or a 5K and a marathon. Huge difference. They're both running, and we've both been involved in the past with long walks, long, very difficult walks. And there's a massive difference between walking 5 miles and 35 miles. And some people presume, well, it's only walking one foot in front of the other, but it's a lot more complicated than that. So if you're going to do it, be honest with yourself and say, yeah, that's my target. Plan and prepare for it so you've got the best chance. Again, other environmental factors can't fit in there, but they've got the best chance of being successful for whatever success means to you.
And it'll reveal the crack.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you train under pressure. Because if you don't, you're not going to run 20 miles before you've been 26.
You will not. Yeah. You will fall to pieces quickly.
And again, the whole thing of revealing the crack is so that you can find the answer or the solution. You know, it's about how teams respond to challenge. Yep. That's like the key to all of this. So I know we've talked about, you know, some of the pressures that come on in the environments that we deliver, but really it's so that teams can see who steps to the fore, why they step to the fore, and when they step to the fore, so that they can, you know, deliver more success going forward.
And for our customers listening in Northern Ireland, we're always up for the crack.
Okay, I'll leave it at that then. Thanks so much for joining us today once again on the Team Builders podcast. This episode might have got you thinking about how your team responds to challenge and how you grow from that. If that's so, please feel free to check out some more of our great articles, podcast episodes and thoughts on our website, teamchallenge-company.co.uk. But for myself and from Stephen and Jerry, thanks so much, gents.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thank you, Jonathan.
We'll see you again next time on the Team Builders podcast.
Learn to love beef jerky.
Good outro. Thanks so much for listening to that episode of the Team Builders podcast. For more insights, ideas and inspiration, head to teamchallenge-company.co.uk or follow us on social media. We would love to engage with you there. For everything else, we look forward to catching you again on the Team Builders podcast.